The truth. God bless you. Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you. I have a story. Did I tell my story? Yeah. You are the one that made me to want to tell this story. Yeah. Many years ago, you know, I received Jesus Christ. That was when I was 18, after I left secondary school. A year after, I wrote JAMB. I told myself, I said, I've schooled all my life in Lagos. Let me explore somewhere else. Let me go to Ogun State. No, at first, the university was Ife. I chose Ife. And I remember before my father died in 1994, he told us that he knows a man in the University of Ife that is going to help us to, he will help us in our admission. That we shouldn't worry. We should just try to do our best, that he's going to help us. So I tried, did my best. And then unfortunately, my father died in 1994. And then I wrote JAMB, 95, 96, if I can still remember. And then JAMB. So, but I remember my father told me of one man. So I kept the poster of the obituary. I kept it. So that when I was going, I took it along and I looked for the man. So gained sympathy. Said, before my father died, he told me about you, sir. And I showed him the obituary. Just to make this man give me admission. He said, I'm sorry. Sorry about the loss of your father, but your score didn't, you didn't merit it. I felt so sad. Okay? So since university didn't work, I chose Ogun State Polytechnic. So I went to Ogun State Polytechnic. I was not taken as well. Because I don't want Lagos. I wanted to leave Lagos. Remember, I was already born again, but I didn't even pray about it. I just wanted Lagos. I mean, Ogun State. My sister took care that we did together. She was taking Lagos State, and we scored almost the same mark. But she was taking Lagos State. That was why she was a year ahead of me. And then, the next year again, I wrote. And this time around, I chose to be state. And my uncle, who happened to be a Muslim, said, Kani, why are you rigid? Even if you don't want to go to Lagos State, at least choose Lagos as your second choice. Why Ogun State, Ogun State? So reluctantly, so I chose Ogun State as first choice, and I picked Lagos as second choice. Lo and behold, Ogun State didn't give me admission. So I have no option than to choose Lagos State. So eventually, I was given a letter left. Eh? Are you following my story? So I went to Lagos State Polytechnic. It was in Lagos State Polytechnic I met Brother Gbemi Adekunbi, who has been of a tremendous help in this ministry. It was in Lagos State Polytechnic and I met Shedu. In fact, we were in the same class. This is a decision. He was the best in our class. Mathematician. Who happened to be the leader in this ministry. It was in Lagos State Polytechnic I met Sister Keji. Who shared powerfully. And who happened to be the wife of Bishop Binka Zakai. So it was Lagos State Police that met Pastor Yinka. And since then, in fact, when we met, there was no immortality readiness. You know, we don't even look like someone that can do anything. Even me, I don't like you. It's too hard. But Yinka has really changed you. Ah, no, Pastor Yinka has really changed. Ah, no, no, no. Sir, he has changed. I know he has changed. So hard, he talks. Lambos. Me, me, I don't want, I just look at you from afar. But do you know funny thing? That was where I met him. And that was where I met my wife. The place I didn't want to go. The place I didn't want to go. What if? But God who has seen from afar that in destiny there are partners in destiny. And if you have gone to that place, you won't meet them. So at times some disappointment is actually blessing. That's what the Bible says. When he said in all things, because at times it doesn't make sense. The ways of God doesn't make sense all the time. But when it does not make sense, just trust it. Lord, I may not understand what you are doing, but I trust you. Huh? We've been around for many years. We have cried together. We have prayed together. We have loved together. When we had nothing, what if? You know, we are trying to force a door open and it's not opening. Listen. Allow God to do what he wants to do in your life. Allow him to do what he wants to do. It was in last protect I met Reverend. I just came in. Reverend Manuel, God bless you, sir. Come, let me hug you, sir. I met Reverend Manuel. He's a reverend, though. These are powerful reverend. Huh? It was in Lagos. I met you, sir. This man has been a blessing to my life. He saw something in me that I don't even know. Lagos State Polytechnic. I want to go to university. You know, I didn't even pray about it. Thank you so much, Bishop Inka. You shared powerfully. Oh, no. You did justice to... No. I don't flatter. Flattering is a thing. You did justice to that bat. Ha! I know. Hallelujah. I hope you know I started preaching. I hope you know. If you have not gained anything from what I'm saying, then you are not walking by the Spirit. God has been so faithful for us. He's been so faithful. And we give him praise for that. Hallelujah. Awaiting the coming grace. You know, God is saying, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. He said, as it is written, eyes has not seen, ears has not heard, neither has they entered into the hearts of men the things that God has prepared. For who? For those who love him. Now, pay attention. I think we said this last year conference. Not for those God loves, but for those who love God. There are two different things. There are two different things. He didn't say prepare for those God loves. Prepare for who? For those who love the Lord. Because God so loved the world, he gave Jesus Christ. And remember, you know that the way God defines love is not, I love you. Huh? The way God defines love, when you say you love God, you say, keep my commandment. Obedience is the definition of God's love. So if I say I love God, then you must obey. You must prove your love for God by obedience. So when the Bible says he has prepared for those that love God, so it's not just people who are born again. Huh? Because you need to understand that scriptures doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't say, he doesn't want to say something and say something else. He said, for those who love God. The same thing in Romans chapter 8, when he says, all things work together for good to them that love God. Not to them God love, to them that love God. So he said, eyes has not seen, ears has not heard, neither has he entered into the heart of men, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. But he said, but the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, has revealed them to us. Huh? The Spirit of God has what? Revealed them to us. For the Spirit searches all things, even the what? The deep things of God. Now, the first thing I want to say here today is the fact that there are things that God has prepared for us. There are deep things of God. And the Bible said the Holy Spirit has revealed them to us. What he has prepared. And let me say this. What he has prepared and what we have experienced is not all that God wants to give us. There is more in God than what we have. So when he gave us his Holy Spirit, the Bible said the Holy Spirit was given to us as a guarantee for what is yet to come. Are we together? Huh? So my own style, I will read scriptures and then allow the Bible to speak for itself. Is that okay? So let's read. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 from verse 1. And my prayer is that that the Lord will reveal. You know, listen. You know, there is possibly that something is revealed to you and you're not even aware of it. Or you don't even have an understanding of it. Something is there, but you don't even have an understanding. Jacob said, the Lord is in this place and I don't even know it. Huh? The Bible said, the scripture you read, the grace of God has appeared unto all men. But not all men are saved. But that grace has been revealed to all men. But not all men have what? Has appropriated that grace, even though it has been revealed to all men. So my prayer for us this evening, of this in this conference, is that these deep things will become and something we will understand in the name of Jesus. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5 from verse 1. It says, for that we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. For in this, in what? In this, that is this body, we groan, earnestly desire to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. What he's talking about? He's talking about, in this body, this earthly body, that's what we call him body. In this earthly body, this physical body, he said we are groaning. And then what are we groaning for? We are desiring to be clothed with our house, which is in heaven. That is the immortal flesh, the glorious body. The same body that Jesus rose with when he rose from the dead. Are you understand what I'm talking about? Okay, so he said that's what we are groaning for. He said, endlessly desire to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we, verse 4, for we who are in this tent, you know, using this terminology, this tent is our body, that's what it's, okay? In this tent, grown, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but found clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now listen, this is what Paul is saying. Paul is saying that even though we are desiring to be clothed with that house from heaven, but I am not talking about death. Huh? Because death will not bring us into immortality. Are we together? I'll give you this scripture from the New Living Translation. This verse 4 from New Living Translation, so that we can understand what we're talking about. Because I'm not in a hurry. There's no point to be in a hurry. Huh? Yeah. So I'll just go through, like what Bishop Inka said, when I'm done, I'll just drop the mic. We'll continue tomorrow. Look at this. He said, why we live in this will make it simple. While we live in this earthly body, we groan and starve. But it is not that we want to die. Do you see that? And get rid of this body. Because, you know, once this body leaves, what happens? It means you are dead. Huh? Hello? Once this body, it means you are dead. So Paul is saying, no. This thing I'm describing, this dimension of life, is not that we want to die. Get rid of this body that clothes us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. Now, when a believer dies, we said the person sleep in the Lord, right? Now, when believers die, they have not put on that new body. Hello? Because that new body will be put on at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Hello. So Paul is saying that even though I'm saying that we want to put off this dying body, this earthly body, I am not talking about death. Because death is not going to bring us to that place. So when we say we want to go home, we're not talking about that we want to die. Because I can't really say, no, we are tired of this world. We want home. Home is not dying. Home is immortality. Home is seeing Jesus Christ. That's home. Home is the second coming of Christ. That is home. That's what Paul is saying. Verse 5. He said, now, he who has prepared us for this very thing. What is this very thing? What is describing? Hello? Huh? The clothing. He said, who has prepared this very thing is God, who also has given us the Holy Spirit as what? As a guarantee, or as a foretaste, or as a deposit. Now when he says guarantee, what does that mean? Huh? You know, you probably want to buy something. You now pay part of the money. Thank you, sir. This is principal. We call him principal. You pay a down payment. What is down payment? Okay, I'm paying this amount. It's not yet complete. I'm paying this amount. I'm going to pay the rest later. So what I have paid is I'm making a commitment that this thing I've paid gives me the guarantee that is going to become mine, even though that's not yet mine. Are you understand what we're talking about? Do you understand this? Huh? So let's read this scripture from the Message Bible. I love it. From verse 1. I'm going somewhere. From verse 1. He said, for instance, we know that when these bodies of ours are taken down like tents and folded away, they will be replaced by resurrection bodies in heaven, God made, not handmade. Okay? And we will never have to relocate our tent again. Sometimes we can hardly wait to move. And so we cry out in frustration. That's the groaning he's talking about. The groaning. And for me, I believe that every believer should have this groaning. There must be that dissatisfaction in your heart. That groaning that you want to see the one you say you love. There must be that. How long did you cut your wife, sir? 10 years. Ah. Your evil master, mine was 7. How long did you cut your wife? 2 years. Okay. Mine was, I didn't even know, 10 years. Jesus. Now, in those 10 years, sir, in those 10 years, I know now we are together. There is this. When will this courtship end? When are we going to get married? There's this longing for that day. Because there's a certain expression of love you want to have. That is those who are serious believers anyway. There is some expression of love, intimacy you want to have in courtship. But you are being limited. Because you know that when you do that, you are breaking boundaries. So you are limited. And as a result of that, at times it causes frustration. That's what Paul is describing. That's what he's describing. So we are being frustrated. Because there is something our spirit is yearning for. But this boy doesn't have the capacity to give us. So there's a it's an inner frustration. As the deer pants after the water brooks, so pants my soul after the. You know, we are seeing something, and then we are longing for something to become a reality in our life. And for me, I believe that this should be the experience of every believer. If this is not experience, then you are not serious. Or you don't even understand what we are talking about. So he said there is a frustration compared to what is coming. He said there is a frustration compared to what is coming. Living condition around here seems like seems like a stopover in an unfinished track. And we are tired of it. Listen, this makes us tired, this body. You know, at times we want to pray, you are tired. You have been a baby, you are using Panadol. Hello, are we together? There's a limit that this body brings us to. He said I love this. He said we have been given a glimpse of the real thing, our true home, our resurrection bodies. Huh? This is where I'm going. The Spirit of God wears our what? Purpose. By giving us a taste of what life ahead. I love that. He put a little of heaven in our hearts so that we will never settle for less. So when God saved us, it's a little heaven that he has put here. Because there is a fullness of that salvation that is still ahead. So when he redeemed us, is a foretaste of the full redemption. Are we together? So let's look at scriptures, the way scripture describes these things. And you will see from scriptures that there is some things of God, some blessings of God, that we have received right now, and there are some, this same blessing that is still yet future. And the Bible says the Spirit of God was given to us as what? As a guarantee. Meaning, the Holy Spirit is not all that God wants to give us. Holy Spirit was given to us as a foretaste of what is ahead. And listen, look at the things we are doing right now with the Holy Spirit. Look at the benefit of what we can accomplish with the Holy Spirit. And the Bible is saying that is just a foretaste. May your eyes be open. If there's any prayer I've been praying, that God will open our eyes. Let me jump. Let's look at the word rest. The word rest. Matthew 11:28-29. Matthew 11:28-29. He said, come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So as believers, we have received rest because we have come to him. We came to him and then he gave us rest. Right? Have we received rest? Yeah. Hebrews 4:3. NLT. Hebrews 4:3. Hebrews 4:3. He said, for only we who believe can enter his rest. As for others, God said, in my anger I took an oath, They will never enter my place of rest, even though this rest has already since the world, since he made the world. Look at it. He says, for only we who believe can enter his rest. Meaning, all those who believe as what? As enter his rest. True of us. True of us. So, do we have rest in Christ? Okay. 2 Thessalonians chapter 4, chapter 1 from verse 4, NLT. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 from verse 4. I'm going to read verse 4 to verse 7. We proudly tell God's other churches about your endurance and faithfulness in all the persecution and hardship you are suffering. And God will use this persecution to show his justice and to make you worthy of his kingdom for which you are suffering. In his justice, he will pay back those who persecute you. And that's why it is wrong to pray for your enemy to die. Because God said, leave that for me. Vengeance is mine. It's a false doctrine to pray that your enemy should die. But that is not my subject. You can ask questions tomorrow. But it's a false doctrine. It contradicts the doctrine of Christ. Jesus said, bless your enemy. Bless your enemy. So it contradicts, but let's leave that so I don't get distracted. Verse 6. In his justice, he will pay back those who persecute you. God himself will pay them back. Verse 7. And God will provide what? Rest for you who have been persecuted. And also for us, when is he going to provide this rest? When Jesus appears from heaven, he will come with his mighty angel. Are we together? You know, he said, we have received rest. Here the Bible is telling us that there is a rest that we are going to receive when Jesus appears. So, the rest we have received is a foretaste of the rest that's in the future. Are we together? Okay. Let me, for reference, you can put Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 to verse 9 also. Let me jump to something else. Hebrews chapter 4 from verse 1 to 9. We have looked at rest. Let's look at one more thing. Let's look at another thing, inheritance. Inheritance. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Let's read from verse 10. Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of the time, he might gather together in one all things in what? In Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. Verse 11. In him, which is in Christ, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. We have obtained. I'm not very good in English like Pastor Inka. I think you should have known that. Okay? But I know I think I know English a bit to know that obtaining, that's past tense, right? Hello? Hello? I think we have principle here. Colossians chapter 1 verse 12. Colossians 1:12. It says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partaker of the inheritance of the saints in the light. So we are partaker. We already have it. Two of us. Okay, so let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 4. Let's read from verse 3. 1 Peter 1 from verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a what? A living hope. Through us, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So he's describing our salvation. True of us. Okay. Look at this. An inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, when you say something is reserved, have you received it? Huh? No. It's reserved. It is not heaven. I hope you know the inheritance is not heaven. He said, but it is reserved in heaven. But remember, we read when he said we are partakers, that we have obtained an inheritance. Hello? So, what we have obtained is a foretaste of what is yet to come. So, there is an inheritance that we have obtained, but there is much more. The fullness of that inheritance is yet to come. Are we following? Okay. Let's look at redemption. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7. Redemption. Ephesians 1 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, that is in Christ, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. He said, in him we have, not we are going to have, in him we have redemption. Colossians 1 verse 14 says the same thing, almost verbatim. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. Okay. Romans chapter 8 verse 23. Romans 8, 23. New King James. Not only that, but we also, let me read this scripture in context. Let's read from verse 19. So that it can flow from verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the whole creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. You know, we quote these scriptures a lot. I'm saying the whole world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. But in true sense, this is future. It's not now. The manifestation of the sons of God in this context is future. Look at, for the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. But listen, when Adam sinned, the sin of Adam, the consequence of that sin did not affect humanity alone, it affected the whole creation. The galaxy, the stars, the water, the plants, everything. That is why we have earthquake. You know, some people say, but where is God? Where is God? What is God looking at? The calamity that is happening in the world is a result of Adam's sin. It is part of the consequences of the sin of Adam. You can't blame God for that. That's why we have tsunami. That's why we have earthquake. The earth is reacting. The Bible says, for we know that the whole creation groan and labor with pain, with bad pain together until now. Look at this. So Paul is saying, not only that is not only the creation that is groaning. He said, but we also, who are the, look at this, can you see that? Who are the first fruits? Now, what is a first fruit? What is a first fruit? Principal, what is a first fruit? The food that is first. You know, when you have it, you know that song? You know, in that day, there's what we call the first fruit of that harvest. Because you are still expecting something greater. So he said, so not only that, but we also who have the first fruit of the Spirit. So those of us who have received Jesus Christ, the Bible says what we have is the first fruit. Hello? Meaning that there is something more. There is something greater. That's why the Message Bible says we cannot settle for less. It puts a little heaven in our heart so that we don't settle for less. But because everything we have now in Christ cannot be compared to what is to come. And may your eyes be open to see it. He said, but we also have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves, even though we have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves grown within ourselves. Look at that. Eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Huh? So even though we have been redeemed in our spirit, but we are not yet redeemed in our body. And that is our hope. That's what Paul is saying, is groaning for. So there is a redemption that we have in Christ. Now, if you are born again, there is a future redemption that we're going to have when Christ returns. Are you getting my point? So we have looked at rest, we have looked at inheritance, we have looked at redemption. Let's look at one more. Let's look at eternal life. See, that one is pretty simple. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him will not perish, but have what? Eternal life. So if you receive Jesus Christ, what do you have? Eternal life. John 17:3. It says, this is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So, do we have eternal life? Do you have eternal life? John 5:24. John 5:24. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in me, who sent me, has eternal life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Let me move on here. Mark 10:28, NLT, or any translation. Mark 10:28. Then Peter began to speak up. We have given up everything to follow you, he said. Yes, Jesus replied, verse 29. I assure you that everyone who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or wife or children of property for my sake and for the gospel news. You know, Jesus Christ said, when you come to me, you give up some things. Huh? But you know our own, right? We want to come to him to have those things. And he asks us that when you come, you give them up. That's what Bishop was talking about when he said, crown without cross. You know, we're not ready to give up anything. Well, let me leave that. Let me leave verse 29 again. Yes, Jesus replied, I assure you that everyone who has given up house, brothers, sisters, mother, or father, or children of property for my sake and for the good news will receive now in return 100 times as many houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, property, along with, we don't want to hear that, along with, now look at what he says. He said, those who have given these things, we're going to have houses, brothers and sisters. Now when he says we have brothers and sisters, 100-fold of that, what do you think that it means? The church. Huh? The church. I have brothers. I have sisters. But you know that none of them is as close as we are, sir. As close as your wife. Pastor Charles. Are you understand what I'm talking about? I came to Lagos. I bring brother to his house. Since Monday. Comfortable. I know he doesn't like me. He will bang his head hearing me say this. But I'm just painting the picture. The children love each other. We come around, we give, we shout. That's the family we are talking about. The Bible says God set the solid tree in family. That the essence of the body of Christ. I mean, when I met you here in First of Assembly, and we've been brothers, share scriptures together. That's the brothers we are talking about, and we have them all over the world. That some people I met on Facebook, I've not even seen them physically, sir. I met Megan for the first time on Facebook. Megan. Are you listening to what I'm talking about? So Jesus says you have them, brothers and sisters. I'm ever allowing in this church. Brothers and sisters, and we are brothers. So that's what Jesus is talking about, not biological brothers, because you can't have 100-fold of biological brothers and sisters. If they have houses, you know, you may not have 100-fold of houses. You understand that? But when you have a brother who has a house, your house become my house. Hello? That's scriptures. I can't get to Bishop House. Sorry, I'm calling you deeper, but that's me. Huh? I can't get to his house and I'll be feeling uncomfortable. No. I can't get to Shagun's house. I go, I open the pot, I will take meat and eat. He dare not stop me. Who born him? If I would be begging me, the last time I was in his house, he was begging me. He was packing meat. I said, what kind of this is? It's not a place you can do that. That's the brothers and sisters we are talking about. Are you understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to play this picture, you understand? So when Jesus talks, he's not saying you have your own biological brothers. He said, we'll receive not in return 100 times as many as his brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and property, along with persecution in the world to come. That person will what? That person will what? Is that present or future? Future. But he first told us that we already have eternal life. He's not saying or saying that it's an eternal life that is in the future. Huh? Are you understand what I'm talking about? Okay, so I've seen that. Let me read Jude. Jude 21, chapter 1, verse 21. He said, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Let me read it from NLT. NLT says, await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. So if I'm saying I'm going to bring you, it means that what I'm bringing to you don't have it yet. Are we together? But do we have eternal life? Yes. But there is a dimension of eternal life that is still future that we don't have yet. Are we together? Okay. Let me take two more. Let's look at sonship. Are we children of God? Are we children of God? John chapter 1 verse 11. It says, as many that believe in me, he gave... No. John 1 11 says, he came to his own, and his own received him not. But as men have received him, to them he gives power to be what? To become sons of God. So are we children of God? So 1 John. Okay, so let me just jump that. So let's read Romans chapter 8. I've read it from verse 19. I'll just read verse 23. This time around. Romans 8:23 from New Living Translation. Romans 8:23 from New Living Translation says, we believe are also grown, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste. Can you see that? Holy Spirit as a what? Foretaste of future glory. Meaning there's a glory we have now, there's still a glory in the future. But Holy Spirit has been given to us as a foretaste of that future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering, which we wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children. Are we children of God? But the Bible said there is a day that we are going to have our full rights as children of God. 1 John chapter 1, chapter 3, from verse 1. It says, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. It says, therefore, the world does not know us because it didn't know him. Verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. Listen, you may not have money in your pocket. You may not even have a wife, but that is not what defines your life. Stop defining your life by what you have and what you don't have. The Bible says the life of a man does not consist in abundance of things he possesses. Don't let people make you feel down, downcast because you don't have money. Am I saying money is wrong? No. No. But in our journey to have it, don't listen to anyone who tells you that if you are poor, it's because you are cursed. It's a false gospel. The false gospel. Because it means that Jesus was also cursed when he was here on earth. Because he doesn't have all the money in this world. But it means that when Paul said, I was in need, then Paul was also cursed. Do we need money? Yes. This program costs us millions. But that's not what defines you. My life is not defined by money, what I have. And that's why even when you have, that's not what defines who you are. And that's why when we understand these things, it keeps us humble when we don't have money. So I don't have money. I don't look for money so that I can show to people that I've arrived. That's not the essence of money. So I don't like cars because I need to make a statement. So because you think that when you don't have these things, then you are less of who you are. But the Bible says we are complete in Christ. Christ is what defines my life. My life is defined. Listen, when you have this understanding, it will help you to manage crisis. When things are not going on well, you don't feel frustrated. You don't feel as if you are lost. Your life is empty. Nothing can come out of your life. It's a lie. Sir, when God gave us a vision of the Immortality Readiness Conference, we were struggling, sir. Sir, we were struggling. We can barely eat. We can barely eat, sir. We can barely eat, sir. You know the story. Pastor in a church, and God said, no, quit. Leave that church. Your time is up there. And join. That's why I joined First Love Assembly. Sir, we had nothing. I wasn't working. She was not working. Sister Diola, who is here, she was in school. University of Lagos. Diola will send us Richard Carter. She didn't know what was happening to us in Port Harcourt. She would send Richard Carter. Sir, who bomb monkey? Who dash monkey banana? Who born us to use that Richard to load the chat card when we have not eaten? My wife will collect, I will give her the chat card, she'll go and sell it so that we can eat. And that was the man. God is saying, you hold conference, you feed people. It didn't make sense. Eventually, when my wife got one simple job, one casual job, I have to be babysitting because you don't have joy, you can't babysit. So who born you? You have to do one. You have to do one. Huh? Abisa. You don't have money. You're not working. Your wife is working. You won't babysit. I have to babysit. And I'll be crying. I say, God, I'll be ashamed to go out. Then Moses was still young. He was still a baby. This one Moses is just jumping around now. I will carry him. At times I'll be crying. I said, God, if I had made a mistake, I will go back to my former church. They didn't send me there. They didn't send me away. Crying. Crying. It was not making sense. And it was at that time God is saying immortality. If I want to tell my wife, immortal what? You mean you hold conference? You invite people? It didn't make sense, Megan. But here we have today. Here we have today. Don't define your life by the circumstances around you. Don't let the circumstances around you define who you are. You are more than this. That's what the Bible is telling us. He said, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know, and this is what I want to leave with us, the knowing, this knowing beyond comprehension, this knowing beyond circumstances. It doesn't matter the storm, the clouds, the rain, you know it in your heart. You are a child of God. You know it. Reverend Manuel, who was struggling last protector. I could not even pay my school fees. I could not even pay. Most of my clothes are dashed. So a lot of them, some of us saw our wedding pictures that I posted. Ah, that shirt. Ah, that shirt. La parasuit. When I saw the shirt, I said, ah, friend, you mean you want the shirt? Ah, you know the shirt you will wear that everything will fold like this because it's oversized. And as I was wearing it, you know, Bishop, I saw you. I said, you mean I want this shirt? My shoe, what better is okay by me? Like flying boats, you know, boats that are like this. In those days, I can't put off my shoe like this. You see holes. Holes. Huh? Beloved, now we are children of, I don't know why I'm saying some of you. Yeah. Because I believe it's encouraging somebody here. That you're already loose. You're already rising yourself up because of the present circumstances. I couldn't pay school fees, sir. Blessed memory, Bola Moye. Pay my school fees twice, Lagos State Polytechnic. Twice. Beloved, now we are children of God. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when it is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. So, meaning that our sonship is not defined by what we see right now. There is a fullness of that will come when Christ is revealed. Are you understand what I'm talking about? You know, it seems as if I'm repeating myself, but my pastor said, when God repeats a matter, it's not because He's Tamara. It's for emphasis. Huh? Yeah. So let's look at the last one. Oh, there's Atia salvation. Let me leave salvation. Let's look at the last one. Grace. John chapter 1 verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. And John bore the witness of Him and cried, saying, this was He of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for was before me. And of His fullness we have received grace for grace. We have received past tense. Romans chapter 5 verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into his grace, into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So, have we received grace? Have we received grace? 1 Peter 1:13. Bishop, I've dealt with that, so I won't labor. 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, gird up the loins. I love the way, you know, you this gird up the loins of your mind. That was exactly what was in my notes. I'm telling you. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I thought we said we have received grace. Yes, we have. But the Bible said there is a grace that is yet to be brought to us at the what? The revelation of Jesus Christ. Of all the scripture I've read, two things stand out. And that will be the basis of my sharing in this conference. Everything I've said was to introduce these two things. These two things. It was deliberate, repeating myself, because I want you to understand these two things. These two things were clearly pronounced in all the scriptures that we are examining. Number one, the time of the fullness of what we have received as a foretaste will be when? The coming of Christ. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. All the things we talked about rest, we've had rest. The fullness of rest, when is it going to come? Is when Christ appears. Redemption, we have been redeemed. But the fullness of that, when is it going to come? When Christ will appear. Huh? We talk about eternal life, we already have eternal life, but there is one that is promised. The fullness of that, when is it going to come? At the coming of Christ. Hello? Why is the Holy Spirit revealing this to us? Why is he pointing our attention to that? Why? Why is he giving us this clue? Because, friends, I wrote here, since we are not yet complete without this, since his coming will usher us into the dimension of life that we have described, it becomes something to look forward to, something that helps us to keep going. The joy of that hope keeps us in the race. And we do not want to lose it for anything in this world. This was how our father of faith survived as well. They kept their eyes on the goal. Their lives were shaped by the future reality in God. Friends, why do we need to understand that there is something more in God for us? Because it will keep us. Jesus told us in Matthew 24. That we are living in a dangerous time. And as the time of his coming draws near, he is going to get more dangerous. We are living in a dark time. And as the coming of Christ comes draw nearer, it is going to get darker. So, friends, we need an anchor. An anchor. And that is the hope that is set before us. The Bible says that hope is an anchor that holds us. Come rain, come shine. Eh? Come storm. The hope that this is not all. Eh? The hope that there is something that is still the life ahead. The hope. Hello? Are we together? The hope. The hope.
The Bible called it the blessed home.
Friends, that was the same technology I saw in Jesus Christ. Who was for the joy that was set before him? Friends, if you can't see anything that is set before you, you can't survive in this world. I can tell you for free. You can't survive. You can't. And listen, what is coming is greater than what you are seeing right now. You have not seen false doctrine. You have not seen false doctrine. You've not seen. You've not seen. You know this day you see. You know, in those days, it is absurd to see a woman not putting on bra. It's absurd. But sir, do you know that it's becoming a fashion these days? Huh? It's becoming a fashion. Not to wear bra. Eh? So how shall we escape? So if we have problem with lust, how will you survive, sir? If you that little thing like this, woman just pass, you just see her cleavage, your body does the So when in the day when they are start walking naked, or you think it cannot happen, that people will be walking naked. Yeah. It's happening already. Thank you, sir. So how will you survive? Who for the joy that was set before him? He endured the cross. He despised the shame. Huh? What kept Jesus on the cross was not just love. What kept him on the cross was the joy that was set before him. Can you see it? Romans 8:17. Paul says, the sufferings of this time is not worthy to be compared with the glory. Sir, can you say something is not, you can't compare something on, you can't compare to what you are not seeing. So meaning that Paul has seen the glory. He has seen the glimpse of that glory. So he said the sufferings of this time is not worthy to be compared with that glory. Let me close with Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. Let's check for our forefather Moses. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Huh? Go back, please. Refused to be called. No, this was a choice. Huh? He refused. Now, do you understand this thing? Do you know what it means to become the son? It's like saying that you can become the sons of the president, Trump, even if it's Tinubu. If today you get to know that Tinubu is your father, your step will change. Do you know who I am? You will not just stop playing, you will stop Jeff. Even though, thank you, sir. Even if it's Tinubu, because some of you might say you'll be choosing, even if it's Tinubu, do you know what it means to be a son of Tinubu? Do you know what it means? Even if it's the governor of Lagos, do you know what it means to be a son of a Lagos state governor? And the Bible says Moses refused to be called the son of the Egypt at that time was the word power. And that means he refused to be called us. When he became of age, when he can decide on his own, refused to be called the son of what? Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 25. Choosing rather, meaning that refusing to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter will bring him into what? Suffering. Who choose suffering these days? No go back. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin. Meaning, Moses knew that was not God's plan for him. He knew. Huh? Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Look at that. Look at the next word. For he looked to thee. He looked to thee. You can't look to what you have not seen. He looked to the reward. May your eyes be open to see the reward. Friends, it is the understanding of that reward that will make it to turn your back against sin, like Joseph. No, why will I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Reward. Huh? The next verse, verse 27. Package, please get ready. By faith, he forsook Egypt. You know why most believers, even though they have left the world, but the world has not left them, we still allow the world to condition our music. Some of you, if I open your phone, huh? By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is what? Invisible. Now, how do you see the invisible? Meaning that he saw something that was not apparent to the physical eye. He saw the invisible. He saw something that is still ahead. And as a result of that, he refused to be called the sons of Pharaoh's daughter. Friends, we have received some things in God, in Christ, but there is yet much more in Christ that we're going to receive. But when is he going to come? When Christ appears. And that is why the appearing of Christ is our hope. On that basis, we can endure hardship. On that basis, we can turn our back on sin. On that basis, we can pay whatever price. And the second thing, which I will continue tomorrow, is what Bishop Inter mentioned. In all those scriptures we have read, you will see clearly tomorrow, there was none of them, that there was no responsibility as we await the coming. None of them. The one that we have, we receive them by grace. Huh? But what is to come is not by grace, it's by works. Your works have to be involved. That's the responsibility. And that is the that's the meat of the matter tomorrow. Hello? Principal.
Father, we thank you. We give you praise for the unveiling of your word. Thank you for the entrance of your word that has given us light and understanding. Lord, we ask for your help, that this revelation knowledge will not be slippery knowledge to us. That we will not drift away from this truth that we have heard. That the anchor will keep us from drifting away in the name of Jesus. And let it not just be knowledge to us. Lord, let us imbibe wisdom to put these things to work in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for all the vessels that you have used today. We trust that if this be day one, day two will be much more glorious. Lord, as we go into day two tomorrow, unveil more seals to us. Open more mysteries to us. And grant us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. And that our eyes of understanding may be enlightened. That much more we will know about this hope to which you have called us. And the riches of the glory of your inheritance in us. Father, we are here at the feet of Jesus. Do with us as you will. And let your name be glorified. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have given thanks. Amen.
Let's put our hands together for the Lord. I'm sure if it was President Tinubu that just finished speaking, you will do better than that. Put your hands together.